The world is busy. We are in a hurry. Our lives are cluttered and beyond our control. The peace break into our chaos. Prepare a way among us. Prepare a path straight to our hearts. Grant us grace to make room for your coming. Speak, for we are listening. A reading from Paul's letters. I am confident of this. The one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of the beloved Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. Having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea proclaiming, "Repent, for the reign of heaven has drawn near." This is the one of whom Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Holy One, make a straight path for God." John's clothing was camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And people were coming out from Jerusalem and all around Judea and up and down the Jordan to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. He saw a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, and he said to them, "You sons of snakes, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't start saying, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our ancestor.' Look, if God needs ancestors for Abraham, God can make them out of these stones. Already the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is coming after me is greater than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Even now his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. And all the wheat he will gather into his granary, and all the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Wow. These Advent scriptures keep on not being what we're expecting. We're preparing for Christmas. So, finally, this week, I brought the boxes of Christmas decorations down from the attic. And the first thing that happens before any decorations go up is that some stuff has to come down. We don't just sort of tack up a couple extra Christmas decorations. We redecorate the house. So first, a lot of stuff has to get out of the way. It gets packed up and shuffled off to the basement. We're going to bring in the tree, right? The first thing you have to do before you bring the tree in is make some room for the tree. I've never lived in a living room that was big enough that you could just add a tree. You got to move something. And usually a few things need to get moved and at least one thing has to actually go. Ironically, in this particular living room, what always has to go every Christmas is our Christmas cactus. It's right there. It has to go into another room. Sorry, Christmas cactus. But you have to, right? You have to make space or else there's no place for the tree. That's all that John the Baptist is talking about. It sounds so harsh. when he talks about axes and things being chopped down and winnowing forks and unquenchable fire. But all he's talking about is getting rid of what you need to get out of the way so that there's room for what you really want. That's what repentance is. It doesn't mean beating yourself up. It just means clearing some space for the way you want your life to be. And that means getting rid of some stuff that you don't want in your life. It's that simple. But it's still sort of scary for us because it's not what our egos want to hear. You know, that part of our thinking that's always taking care of who am I and how do I defend myself and how do I keep myself right side up. It doesn't like the idea of having to change. We don't really want Christmas to make some permanent dent in our lives. The tree isn't going to stay there forever. And we think of Christmas kind of like decorations that come and go, and then we return to normal. I think a lot of times we're waiting for Jesus to come kind of like we're waiting for Santa Claus. 4 minutes is about enough, right? We want him to visit, but we don't want him to move in. You kind of want to see Santa Claus magically appear. And you want to see him put presents under the tree. And maybe you want to share a couple cookies with him. And then you can go now. You don't really expect to watch Santa wriggle down the fireplace, dust himself off, and plop down in one of your easy chairs and say, "So, which room is mine? Ho, ho, ho." What? Reindeer camping out in the backyard for a year? No. Move on. Isn't that kind of the way we think of Christmas spiritually? There's this season that comes and we get through all the parties and the office things and then it goes and we get back to normal. And it doesn't change us. That's not what it's for. John the Baptist is not baptizing people in order to maintain the status quo. He's talking about change. You'll notice a strong connection with Christmas and baptism. It's actually a cool thing. See, he agrees with me. Yeah, that's absolutely true. There's a connection between Christmas and baptism because there's a connection between baptism and being transformed. You don't come out of the water the same person you were when you went in. You'll also notice a strong connection between baptism and justice. And therefore, a connection between Christmas and justice. It's not just about good feelings. It's about God changing the world. Wolves lying down with lambs is not what we're used to. Something has to change in both the wolf and the lamb to make that happen. So, if Christmas is all about being transformed, how do we go about doing that? How do we even know what needs to be transformed? How do we know which things need to go and which things need to be moved out of the way? How can we tell which are the trees that are bearing fruit and we want to keep them and which are the trees that aren't bearing fruit and they need to be chopped down? How can we tell? Well, the Christmas tree gives us a clue. The way you prepare your living room for the Christmas tree is to arrange it as if the tree is already there. Right? You push everything aside and arrange it so that there's room for the tree, and it's as if the tree is already there. Then you can move the tree in. What if we anticipated the coming of Christmas, the coming of Christ, as if Christ is already here? Literally. What if you imagine that Jesus is standing right next to you all the time? At first, you get intimidated and freaked out, right? Whoa, it's that Santa Claus thing. Really, 4 minutes was enough. But what if Jesus is actually with you? Because see, the promise of Christmas, which is the promise of baptism, is God has come to be with you and is never leaving. Ever. That's why the wise men bring myrrh. Because they know, we're going to try to get rid of this guy. We're going to kill him. And part of the story is, it's not going to work. In Jesus, God says, I am with you forever. In baptism, we remember that. God is promising now. Jesus is absolutely committed to being with August forever, every day. So imagine that that means that Jesus is right next to you the next time you get into an argument with somebody. It's a three-way conversation. What's Jesus saying? The next time a little baby is scrabbling during worship and you want to think, come on, knock it off, I can't hear. Maybe that's Jesus. If Jesus were sitting right next to you, what would Jesus do? He'd go sit with the kid. Yeah. He'd spend way too much time with the kid, and you'd be saying, isn't this worship? And we'd be saying, and he'd be saying, yeah, isn't it? What if every moment you imagine that Jesus is right there? This is different than what would Jesus do? This is more like, what is Jesus doing? And the way we tune into that is partly given to us by our friend, our Christmas saint. And I don't mean St. Francis. I don't mean St. John. I mean St. Grinch. He's my hero. You'll see on my necktie. Remember what happened to the Grinch? He stole everybody's Christmas and he thought he had it stolen. And he put it all in that sleigh and he ran it up Mount Crumpet. And he was right at the top, ready to dump it. And he wanted to stop and hear the wailing and the moans of all the Whos down in Whoville. And so he stopped and listened. And that is what changed him. He stopped and listened. In this Advent season, when our calendars and our day planners rev up, and we have parties and office meetings and end of the semester stuff and concerts and soccer games and wah, in the middle when it's the hardest, imagine this, that Jesus is in that calendar. That Jesus is standing there baking those cookies. Jesus is hanging those ornaments. Jesus is right there. And all you need to do is stop and listen for Jesus. And the miracle is when we make room in our schedule, actually make room in our lives for God, God is there. All we have to do is make that room. And be aware that this time, it's for good. You're not going to just make a little adjustment and then go back to normal. You're going to give a little bit of room in your life, and God will take it over. And so you'll have to give a little more room, and God will take it over. And you give a little more room, and pretty soon your entire life becomes holy. That's what we're waiting for. That's the coming of the one who is actually already here. That lamb is already lying down with these wolves. We just need to listen. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your presence even as we await your coming. We listen for your voice and we hear it in one another, in August, in the silence, and in everything that fills the silence. We listen for your voice and we welcome your presence. And we pray that you will help us to make room. God, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.